Well, Jack, I think that now's a good time as any to bring our guest up to the microphone. And since you gave me the courtesy of telling the folks who he was, why don't you go through the introductory period here?
Well, if you have to introduce this fellow, that means if you have to have him introduced to you, that means you must have been living in a cave or something for the last years.
Well, my grandmother hasn't seen a movie since Warner Baxter. I mean, now you mull that around. Maybe she hasn't seen Mr. Stewart work.
Well,
that's kind of an incongruous situation, though.
I remember Warner Baxter very well, you know. This is Jimmy Stewart, and brother, here is a man. Jimmy, welcome to Chicago.
Thank you, Mac. Very happy to be here.
Last time we had Jim on these microphones, you were busy at the ballpark, and weren't able to get here, as I recall.
That's right, Jim, you have a particular reason for being here. You might as well tell us what it is.
Well, my one reason for being here is just I'm on my way home from Washington. I've been there for about 10 days working on a picture, the FBI story. That's the first reason. Then the second reason, I'm sort of here to put in a good word for another picture that is opening here Christmas Day, I think, at the Woods Theater. I did the picture with a local girl you may have heard of, Kim Novak.
We've heard of her.
Wow.
Yes, we have.
And it's a sort of a comedy. As a matter of fact, I use that term not loosely, because we'll find out after Christmas whether it's a comedy or not. But I like to believe it is. I hope it is, because I think maybe we could use some. I hope this sort of is a part of a trend. I think the movies have been taking themselves too seriously for the last several years, and I hope we can get some that people can go to the movie theater and come out laughing instead of come out scratching themselves and go to a psychiatrist or something.
I was going to say, I'm glad you're in a comedy. The last two couple of pictures I saw you in, I had to sort of sweat it out there with you. You had your leg broken in one, and you were a victim, you witnessed this murder that was in the rear window.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other picture was vertigo, and that was a rough thing.
Yeah, well, I'm getting a little tired of that myself.
All the suspense and intrigue.
Yeah. An old friend of yours was shooting right in front of this building not long ago, Alfred Hitchcock.
Yes, well, he was here, I think, with the Cary Grant picture.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's right. Well,
I'm a great Hitchcock fan. I think he has about as much talent as anybody in the business. He's a real exciting man to work for. He seems to have just a bottomless pit of talent. I don't know where he gets his energy and where he gets his imagination and his talent. He's one in a million.
Jimmy, I remember this fellow if for no other reason than the fact that he cast you as a murderer. And that, I confess, I would not ever suspect you of being able to get away with the part of a murderer, and you did, and that won the rope. That was Hitchcock, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I wasn't, I was a detective in that one.
No, I'm talking about one where you were a murderer. Now, which one am I thinking of?
Well, that's way, boy, you're...
With Rosalind Russell.
No, that was the one
Grace Kelly, rather. Grace Kelly, no?
Yeah, that was a Hitchcock picture.
Yeah.
But I caught the murderer. Not one. The only time
That's
where
right.
I've killed anybody,
yeah.
Where I wanted to do it, was way back years ago in one of the Thin Man picture, one after the Thin Man. And they finally discovered that I was the real killer.
Well, that wasn't the Hitchcock, then.
No.
Well, I'm wrong. But I know that I have this sharp memory. I know I have a sharp memory of your being a murderer, because when you walked in the studio today, it just seemed here's this pleasant, placid, gentlemanly fellow who, is great
well,
at everything
Jack,
he does.
And,
well, it's close, but
I remember him as a murderer.
That was the picture where I almost got murdered. Maybe that's what you meant.
Which picture are you referring to? What was the title of this
picture? Rear Window.
Yeah, that's where
that's the leg
was broken.
Yeah, actually, as a matter of fact, you had a broken leg in that one.
Yeah.
It was coming back to me.
Yeah.
You had Grace Kelly.
And the murderer came and threw me out the window and broke my other leg.
Well, I'm glad we're nice and confused. It's a good way to get the show started.
Well, you know, that last picture, that vertigo, I was going to ask you, you're talking about trends and casting. I know that for a while, William Powell and Myrna Loy were usually linked together in most of their pictures, and now this is Well, the second picture made with Kim Novak.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You think that's going to be a sort of a team type thing? Or
I don't know. It's okay with me.
You don't mind at all?
No, don't mind at all. I know this is an entirely different kind of a thing. It's, as I say, sort of a light comedy thing. Kim's awful good in it. The other thing, the Birdie Girl, this is kind of a tough assignment, you know. It's a dual role, and it's kind of heavy, and this is kind of tough stuff to do. But I think Kim learned a lot, an awful lot, from Hitchcock. And in this thing, Bell, Book, and Candle, she does an awful good job. And I think Chicago will be proud of their Kim.
I remember reading a quote by one of the syndicated Hollywood columnists on you not long ago, Jimmy, in which you, if you're quoted correctly in this thing, took a pretty good whack at some of the younger generation of actors and actresses who, I guess, your real beef was that they come to Hollywood and then can't wait to get back to New York or keep screaming and hollering that they want to get out of there. Do you remember the piece?
Yeah, I think it was in the Daily Variety, I know. A fella came out, Dave Kaufman, I know very well, and it just happened. I was in a talkative mood, I guess, and so he printed it. I don't talk very much usually, but I did this day. Yeah, I sort of sounded off about this young crowd and about movies in general. I have a very strong feeling about the sort of the method actors, I suppose you'd call them. I'm getting a little bored with all that. I'm getting a little bored with the fact that they seem to feel that they go to this method school or whatever it is, and there's some kind of a high priest, and he waves a magic wand over them and touches them, and then evidently that means that they're destined for immortality. And actually, they can do no wrong, and they can. There isn't anything as far as acting is concerned, or writing, or directing, or raising a family, or anything, or being in politics, that they can't do. And it makes it kind of tough for people around them that have to work with them, because you have to sort of wait around for these people to get this message from this spiritual being that they sort of go to, and sometimes it takes hours before this comes to them, and this gets a little tiring.
Meantime, the whole crew is being held up.
And then so many times it happens that when they finally do come out with this inspirational thing that they're going to give to the public who is waiting for them, you either can't understand what they say, or they do it so badly that you have to do it all over again.
That's the one.
Jimmy, I would assume that you work with some of these people to have adopted this first-hand opinion.
No, I haven't worked with very many of them, but
not many of them are working.
I know some of them, and I know a lot of directors who have worked with them, and it's pretty tough. It's pretty tough. The thing I object most of all is that they seem to insist that the only way to do anything right is to improvise, and they have no basis of skill. They haven't learned the fundamentals. They haven't learned to walk before they can water ski. You know, they have nothing to rely on except improvisation. And I think probably this is sort of a sign of the times. You know, in music today, music is improvisation. Now, this is fine, up to a point. I know, I read a thing the other day about a fella, a very famous fella, I suppose there's no use in mentioning his name, who has had a wonderful pianist and had a great jazz band for a long time, and suddenly announced that he was taking piano lessons. And this came as a great shock to everybody, but his explanation was that he thought that if he was going to keep on breaking the rules, he might as well learn what the rules are. And this goes into acting, too.
That's a good comparison there, Jim.
Well, now, your early days, for example, were spent in the acting business in the company of some other people who have been developed very great reputations in the movie business, weren't they?
Yeah, I was in a stock company years ago when I first got out of college up in Massachusetts. Margaret Sullivan, Hank Fonda, Kent Smith, Myron McCormick, Tane Windust, Millie Natwick. These are people that have gone on in the theater, and this certainly wasn't a wild crowd of people that there wasn't any question about improvisation as far as we were concerned. It was a question of learning, and learning by experience.
Mm-hmm.
We'd all been to college. We all had a sort of a basis as far as education is concerned. So many people come up to me and say, well, now I want to get into, I want to act. I know I can. I'm just sure. And I just don't want to waste my time in school. Now, what do I do? And I say, well, in the first place, let's get something straight. You're completely off base as far as wasting your time in school. I think if you want to act, you just go to school and study English and a couple of foreign languages and history and some mathematics if you can do it, and a little science. And then after you get that basis, well, then if you want to go in the theater, there are plenty of training grounds where you can start with it. But get that basis first.
Makes a lot of sense.
I wonder if we could hold Jim for another while here. This is the halfway portion, Jimmy. I wonder if we could take sort of an intermission here, have a cigarette along with us, and we'll pause here for a moment, and then we'll get back to Jimmy, okay?